And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 66 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with game changers and educators from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check our show out on iTunes.
And don't forget about our brand new competition that if you go on iTunes and leave a review for any of the episodes that you have seen or the Kids Deserve It show at all, we'll be selecting a winner each week to win a prize Kids Deserve It swag pack.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this week, we've got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas. And I'm so thrilled this week to have our special guest, Penny Kittle, on with us. Penny, thank you so much for being on with us this week.
Thanks for inviting me.
We want to also remind our viewers to be sharing on social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you're watching this live or listening to the recording later.
So Penny, we have a few questions for you. So for those who don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
So I teach grades 10, 11, 12 here in New Hampshire. I'm in the White Mountains, northern part of the state, and I work at a small high school. We have about 840 kids. And I teach poetry, research writing, the art of story. I've been doing it for 20 years here in this district. Grew up in Oregon, worked in California, Ohio, Michigan before we moved out here, state of Washington. At any rate, I also work as a literacy coach, so I teach all fall, and then I work as a coach, and I'm right now in the middle school, and I do some work around different schools.
Nice. Wow. So you have worked in a lot of kind of different levels of education and different spheres of that. How do you feel that those levels have kind of affected the roles that you now hold as a classroom teacher and professional development leader?
I think the best thing is that I was in elementary education as an undergrad and that I taught elementary school for the first 10 years because I was really focused on what do these kids need from the minute I started. And that really helped me as I moved. Even though I have a master's in British Lit, I knew that my thinking was always about what do these kids need instead of what book am I teaching. And that has had a huge impact on how I approach my teaching at the high school.
Mm-hmm. So Penny, what are some strategies that you've used to kind of help move teachers from like the old traditional classroom framework and then to a more like student-focused framework?
I think that I usually start with the idea that our mission in, you know, being literacy people is that we want kids to love reading and writing. And when you love something, then you want to do it more. And so, you know, today I walked into a middle school classroom. I was doing conferring with these seventh graders, and this kid goes, "Wait a minute, I remember you. You're the one who came into my classroom." And it was like second or third grade. He goes, "You always had this notebook like filled with writing." And I had it in my hand. I was like, "I still have one of those. It's filled with writing." And you could just see that it was like this mysterious thing. Like, who's this person who carries around a writer's notebook? And I thought, you know, shouldn't that be what we are about? Like, we're so in love with words that we write them all the time. We fill up things that I've been writing about my travels over the last 5 weeks in Asia and all of the things I saw and felt, and I have pictures in my notebook. And shouldn't that be who we are? You know, the inside cover is, what am I currently reading? And if you asked me, I would say, "Oh my word, I just finished Shoe Dog last night. I'm absolutely crazy about Phil Knight's memoir of CEO of Nike." And we should be alive with our passion for reading and writing. Like every single day, every classroom we go into, we're like, "Oh my word, what are you guys reading? And what do you want to think about in writing?" And so that was me in teaching third grade in a year-round school, and that's me teaching 12th graders research writing.
Well, you know, I love that you talk about that because I read Donalyn Miller's book, The Book Whisperer, a few years ago when I became a principal, and I was always a math science teacher and specifically math, and I never really viewed myself as a reading teacher or somebody that could inspire kids to read because I thought, you know, math is my lane. And then when I read that book, it just really opened my eyes. And I just knew that, you know, as an educational leader now, and then with my school as a whole, we really took that idea and ran with talking about books all the time and filling classrooms with books and advertising what we're reading and having that. And, you know, and I do a lot of work now with a good buddy of mine, Travis Crowder, who he talks about how, you know, when he works with middle school kids and really just consistently introducing them to many different kinds of books. And the only way you can do that and have those conversations with them them about those books is if you are reading them yourself and making the time. And even now as an administrator, I'm finding books with characters that look and sound nothing like me. And it has so opened up my perspective and given me so much more empathy for different areas of kids. Do you find that as well as you read books and share them with kids?
Absolutely. And I find that kids will recommend books. Like on my shelf in my classroom, it says, Mrs. Kittle just finished, is currently reading, will read next. And my kids will come along and pile up books on the will read next side. And they'll say things like, you know, I can't believe you haven't read The Feed or Feed yet. You haven't read, you know, Maze Runner Part 2, The Scorch Trials, you know. And that constant back and forth, I'm expecting my teacher to know what I love and to read some of what I love, you know. You know, there's a whole lot of books that are not really books that I love, mm-hmm. but I read them because my kids want to have that conversation with me, and I need to know what it is that they're passionate about. And so I find myself constantly searching for books that are going to connect to my kids, and they're interested in careers. So I fill my classroom with books written by nurses and doctors and scientists and, you know, Malcolm Gladwell and all these people that will help them think through what are they interested in. And in that back and forth with authors and people who live in the fields that they're interested in, they're going to find out, is that where I want to dedicate my passion as I go off to college? I like Travis. Yeah, you've got to talk about books all the time.
Well, and I love the dynamic you just said about you have a space on your bookshelf for kids to go and recommend books that they want you to read next. And, you know, it just hit me so hard when I heard you say that, because I've never even thought about that. I mean, yeah, I'm advertising my books and talking about that and doing book talks with kids. But I think that is such a neat perspective, is to have a space for them to tell you, hey, you need to read this, and I'm going to put this book here so you can remember that.
Yeah. The other thing you need is what should Mrs. Kittle buy next list, because my kids are always filling it in with books that I don't have that they know are good fits. Like a girl came by today and said, in your comedian section, you're missing this. And so I put it on your what you should buy next list. And I think, you know, that agency, and this is our library, it's not mine, is really central to creating a space where kids feel like they're celebrated.
So what books do you feel are essential for classroom teachers to read, and why?
Oh, I think that you've got to read books that you think are going to connect with your kids. Like, you have to look at your population and say, I mean, seriously, Duck Commander, the trio of books about the guys who are in Duck Dynasty, I had to have them because I have all of these kids who are hunters and fishers and they love Duck Dynasty. And the minute I brought it in, there was a waiting list. It was, you know, and it was my friend who bought it for me, just because we know the kind of kids we teach. And so you have to start with, what do these kids, what are they going to love? And then how do I get them to think, like I have a whole section in my library called Stories from the World, because I live in rural New Hampshire. So there's a whole section on Asia and the Middle East and Africa, and help my kids find other places in the world through empathy for characters and situations. So it's both know who they are and find books they're going to love. And so I couldn't give you a list that's right for your kids. You need to know your kids. Mm-hmm. I can give you lots of books I love and that my kids have loved, but you really, this is full on hard work for teachers to know your kids and then help them.
Yep.
I love that. Connect. So, Penny, what was school like growing up for you as a kid?
Portland, Oregon. I walked to school a mile each way, not in the snow, but with all my buddies. And one of my big memories was the Scholastic book orders, you know, those little coupons you could fill out and then there'd be the stack of paperback books. We had those stupid SRA kits where you had to like check off questions, and it was just really, I read because I loved to read. My mom read to me. We went to the library, but it wasn't a place where I kept a writer's notebook and explored the world with my thinking. I did all of that outside of school. So there was kind of a missed opportunity. And once I got to high school, I can remember distinctly, I was a basketball player freshman year, and I walked into Honors English and the teacher said, we're going to read Pride and Prejudice about these two girls who want to get married, and they want to, and it was honestly those words, they want to get married. I was like, I'm not reading it, because I am one of the most passionate Jane Austen fans you're ever going to meet. I found her after college, late college. And as a freshman basketball player, I don't care if somebody thought that was the right book. It was not the right book for me. I was not at all interested. And I just think we have to take disengagement seriously. We don't. Sometimes we keep trying to give kids what we think they need. And we need to sit back and go, what are you interested in? And then let me leverage literacy to bring that out in the best way that I possibly can. And so at my high school, we design courses that we think will meet the needs of our kids, and we try really hard to align our teaching with who they are and what's going to really inspire them.
Awesome. So I have to ask, are you a Lucy Calkins and a Teachers College fan?
I am a big fan because of Don Graves, who was my mentor and retired here to New Hampshire. So we spent a lot of time together, and Lucy was his researcher. And so I'm working at Teachers College in a couple of weeks. I love the work that so many of those people do. And I think that Reading Writing Workshop is the model that empowers kids. It's independence. It's the turning over of control. You have this short bit of time where you teach, and then you let the kids really run. And what Lucy's doing, I believe, is giving teachers who don't understand what it is or never learned it a frame for how to do that work. And so gradually they'll release themselves from having Lucy design their lessons, and they'll be able to, you know, really look at their kids and design their own instruction. I think it's just important for a lot of teachers to find their grounds in.
I agree. So, Penny, we all have those days where it's a rough day, or we have a trouble getting out of bed. When you're having some of those days where you're just not even feeling it, what do you kind of do to kick your butt into gear?
I listen to hard rock on the way to school at a very loud volume, and that typically gets me going. I typically stand in the hall because it's the kids that fire me up every day. And so I stand in the hall when I'm feeling yucky, and I just start talking to kids, even kids I don't know. It always brings me back to, what am I doing here? Why do I care? Because there are these amazing minds walking down my hall that just need somebody to engage them. And so I always get centered back on the reason that I teach, which is the kids.
Nice.
I love it.
All right, Penny, the time has come. Every week, we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this a lot because I worked with a man that I adore who talked to me about, we always have to approach our work with the intention that we're going to align what we're doing, our behaviors, with the greater purpose. And I think that's such important things to think about. So if you sit beside a kid and the kid is not reading and you find out that they haven't read in weeks, you have to think about, what's my intention? I want this kid to love reading. And if I remember that's my intention, the greater purpose, then what I'm going to say to him and the way I'm going to treat him is not going to be, you didn't do your reading, you're in trouble, I'm going to shame you for not. I mean, it's all going to be problem solving. And so we always have to keep in mind that our greater purpose, our purpose as teachers, is to help kids fall in love, find curiosity, and leverage all of the tools and the things that will engage them. So if we keep that intention in mind, our behaviors will align to just keep kids inspired and hopefully loving what they're discovering in their own learning.
I love that. To build that book love. Awesome.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you so much for being our guest this week. I have loved hearing your perspective. We really admire your work, and we're thrilled that you agreed to come on. So thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys. It was so nice to meet you both.
And thank you, everybody, for watching the show. And remember to tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. We also have a brand new t-shirt campaign going on right now with our baseball tees, regular v-neck, and our brand new embroidered polos that you can check out by looking at our pinned tweet or our Facebook page. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes for an autographed book set, and check out next week's show with our next awesome guest. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, Penny.
Bye. Bye, Adam.